you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Friday. I'm not used to saying that. October 7th. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. I am Daniel, filling in for Field Yates here with Stefania and Mike, feeling out a Friday show.
Yeah,
how you feeling?
Very disoriented.
Yeah.
It's like Mike's usually there.
Yeah, things are different. Yeah,
and you're sleeping at this point.
Usually I'm still asleep. Yeah. I'm just waking up to the alarm.
You know what it is? I think you were so excited. So stimulated by Thursday night football. You
I couldn't wait to come in and talk about it. You know what it is? You're not wrong because I couldn't sleep after Thursday night football because of how bad it was, Stefania.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's get, we got so much. We're going to get into a whole lot today.
Let's just do it.
But let's get into Thursday night football because it sucked. And the game, unfortunately, not only did the game suck all the way through, but Stefania, the game.
But there is overtime.
I know.
Like, we need to watch more of it.
More of it.
I just couldn't wait for it to be over. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going to continue.
I texted Mike and Kyle last night. I desperately want those hours of my life back so I can do anything else. Because this game was brutal. And unfortunately, Stefania, it started off in a way that was just unfortunate for everybody. We love this game, but injuries continued to mount. And Nyheim Hines went down in this one.
Yeah, and it was scary, right? We saw Nyheim Hines take a hit, sort of an odd angle, glance to like the side rear of his helmet, and he looked uncomfortable when he went down, but it was when he got up that really made all the rest of us uncomfortable.
Yeah,
we saw him definitely staggering, teammates helping to lift him up. Medical staff rushes out there, and then they were talking to him for a bit. I did see people saying, just get him off the field, get him off the field. Part of what they're doing at that moment in talking to him is very valuable information in terms of assessing exactly what his orientation is and also his ability, whether he could walk off the field. So you want to give the medical staff all the time they need at that moment, taken back to the locker room and then did not return, ruled out with a concussion. And this will be, again, we will monitor him as he goes through the protocol, but ultimately we're all just glad that he was taken off and that was that.
Agreed. And Mike, we saw Phillip Lindsay and Deion Jackson do really well in his stead. Doesn't really mean anything because this is going to be Jonathan Taylor's backfield going forward, right?
Yeah, hopefully Taylor's back in 10 days, right? And maybe Hines will be back in 10 days. We don't know that for sure. We'll obviously see how that works itself out over the next 10 days. If they both are sidelined, I think you're looking at Jackson as the primary guy here. I thought he looked good.
Way more explosive. Yeah.
The guy's like 215, 220, and he looked it. Yeah. Guys had a hard time tackling him, and he looked kind of spry for a guy that just plays special teams, right? He was moving pretty good through the between the tackles. I'm surprised, honestly, they didn't use him a little bit more in this game. But 62 yards, 29 through the air. Phillip Lindsay was fine as a complimentary back, played 26 snaps. But again, I don't think you're going to really prioritize these guys on waivers unless it looks like Taylor is going to miss another game, which is possible, by the way.
It is, but I don't think he will because I think it actually was a pretty close decision for him, and they were just evaluating, you know, it's Thursday night, it's a short week with a recent ankle sprain. If you wait the extra week, you're basically giving it, you know, another 10 days on top of it. So I expect that we'll see Jonathan Taylor.
By the way, if there's another situation down the road where Taylor's out and Hines is hopefully back healthy and on the field, pretty good sign that he got all three touches, right?
Yeah.
One first, second, third down. We're all Nyheim Hines. We dropped the first one, but then they kept going back to him. That was a good sign that they will commit to him for 15 to 20 touches if Taylor's out down the road. So keep that in mind, just kind of in the back of your mind if it pops up down the road.
Yeah, these wide receivers too, Mike. I loved being able to get eight targets for Michael Pittman, right? And Alec Pierce also got involved, but Michael Pittman was the guy. Wanted to see a little bit more from him. Loved the target share, but just didn't get going. And in part of that, we talked about it. Had a tough matchup this week.
He did. Sertan was on him 45% of the time, which isn't probably, it's lower than I thought it would be. But, you know, Alec Pierce looks really good.
He
really does. And there were times where they kind of stopped the shadows situations and Sertan was on Pierce a little bit. So I'm not worried about Pittman. You know, Matt Ryan's not going to scramble much. He's going to throw the ball a ton throughout the rest of the season. And Pittman's going to be his top guy for the most part. 25% target share is within range. You just keep starting him. He'll be okay.
Yep. What about Alec Pierce? Is he somebody that's worth looking at off of the waiver wire with this game that he had? I mean, nine targets here and he delivered on them.
Yeah, he was injured early on in the season and missed some time. And his workload just keeps increasing, right? And he's been over 60 yards three straight games. He's a second round rookie. And Paris Campbell's not doing anything. And Ashton Dolan left last night injured, and he's been kind of reduced to a bench role. And Mike Strawn and the tight ends are kind of just a rotation. Yeah. I mean, Pierce can be the number two target in this offense for sure. So he should already be on benches if he's still out there. Pick him up.
He is available in 91% of leagues.
I tried to tell you guys when I came back from Colts camp that he definitely had a role. Like, he was the number two. He was lining up opposite Michael Pittman. That's who they were going to. And he looked really good in camp. And then he had the first week, a concussion injury, never really got going. You know, when my guy Lou Riddick says, why aren't you using Alec Pierce? Like, go to Alec Pierce. I'm like, you know, that sort of validation for me. And it was nice to see him involved last night. It was just... That was about the only nice thing.
They'll score
a touchdown some weeks.
Yes.
Sooner or later. They will. I can't believe they beat the Chiefs.
Will they ever?
No.
12 days ago.
No.
12 days ago, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it's incredible.
By the way, NFL is wild.
I've gotten so many tweets, especially after last night's game. Can I drop Russell Wilson finally? Russ is awful. Do I have to roster Russell Wilson? I'm at a spot, Mike, where... It's tough for me because I still feel like this offense, his skill position players are still too good to just give up on what is the talent of Russell Wilson. But I don't know what I'm doing with him week in and week out if he's my starter.
I think if you're going through all the quarterbacks and kind of ranking them, and it's funny, I'm like working on a dynasty ranking update and looking at the quarterbacks, and you get like, you're like, all right, Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar Jackson, like Jalen Hurts is in there. And then you're just like, this guy could be sixth or he could be 25th.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Where's Geno Smith? Where's like all these guys? It's just, it's wild. And he's fallen to that conversation because he is not a good fantasy quarterback right now. He's not a guy you feel like starting. And I could not, it almost like, if you watch that game last night, you're thinking, this has to be fixable. It's Russell. I mean, these guys are wide open.
The very end. KJ Hamler, it said it all, right? Like, there he was, and he was not even looked at.
How about earlier in the game, he had a dump off. He threw to Mike Boone on third and long. Cortland Sutton was right in front of him, wide open for a first down on like third and 15. I was like, I don't get it. I can't figure out what's going on there.
I thought the broadcasting crew did a really good job of highlighting what it feels like Russell Wilson isn't seeing, which makes me even more nervous as a fantasy manager when it's like, oh, it's not just that he's just playing bad, but they're showing like he's not seeing the field the way that Russell Wilson used to see the field, it seems like.
I was watching the dots because I couldn't. I was like, I can't. There has to be something I'm not seeing, right? Like, how am I... What is he not seeing? I'm missing something. There must be a defender standing there. And you watch the dots and you're like, he's looking right at Sutton going right by the corner. And I'm just over and over. And I don't get it.
I was watching the version with our friends, Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer, and they had Emmanuel Sanders on at the end of the game. And he's talking about it from the perspective of a former Broncos player and talking about the game script and things that he's expecting to be set up. And he's like, oh, well, they didn't do that there. Just no matter who you listen to or what you watched, we saw things where there were scenarios where they could have executed something that would have been productive in terms of points, and it didn't happen. And I think that's the part that makes us concerned for fantasy. At this point, we don't have any more time. I know no one cares about my fantasy team, but I just have to vent about it because in the War Room League, 16-team league, we talk about it all the time. Russell Wilson's my quarterback. Matt Ryan's my backup. I don't have another choice. There's no other quarterbacks in the league. I literally picked up Bailey Zappi yesterday because I'm like, what am I doing? But I have to trade. But who else do I have? Jonathan Taylor. He was out last night. So you know who filled in for him off my bench? Melvin Gordon. He became a starter. I am doomed. Can I just complain about that?
You're not doomed. It could be worse. Maybe.
I had 20 fantasy points, and make it worse, I'm playing Scott
Clark.
Long
season. Keep trucking along. But anyway, to answer your question... And to Stefani's point, hard drop, I think, just because that hard quarterback situation is wide open and he can jump back into that top 10 or 12 if they figure things out. It is a new offense. You know, he's new to the team. It could improve, but it's
apparently
not like he's a roster lock.
Nathaniel Hackett were talking about the locker for quite some time after the game.
Yeah. I will say this. There have been a lot of these fantasy, and I've said it a lot, fantasy is an emotional game. Our director, Brian, and I know he's not the only one, is trying to decide, am I starting Marcus Mariota next week or Russell Wilson? Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of questions that we're going to continue to get until we see more from this Broncos office and Russell Wilson under center. Let's talk about the running back, Stefania, because you mentioned Melvin Gordon. Finally, you get the backfield all to yourself with Melvin Gordon. And what happens? It's another split with Mike Boone.
I know. I'm surprised, but not totally. We thought that they kept saying we trust him. They were going to lean on him more. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just
54 rushing yards for him.
Middling.
3 catches for 49 yards, which you love to see that. But Mike Boone, Mike Clay, 38 rushing yards, also had 3 catches for 47 yards. And Mike Boone looked pretty stinking good out there.
Yeah, he was fine. Obvious passing situations, they turned to Boone. It was Gordon on first and second down. Third down, it was Mike Boone. Gordon went over 100 yards. You can't ask for too much more out of him at this point. You want a touchdown occasionally, which you'll get.
Over 100 yards in that game last night, you should be thrilled that Melvin Gordon got that.
Exactly. Seriously. Yeah, for sure. So I almost wrote a joke tweet that Javonte Williams was actually the highest point scorer in the game at running back, because it was at one point it was so bad.
But then Gordon
started to pick it up a little bit. And then he ended up fine. You know, double digit fantasy points for both. I think both should be on rosters. Gordon's going to be startable. Boone on benches, I think, right now, unless we see consistent production. But now he's more like
Latavius
Tony Pollard.
Murray, though?
He might play a little bit.
You really think that they brought him in for him to not do anything?
I mean,
just insurance.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the Saints practice squad. He was basically insurance there.
Until he wasn't suddenly.
Yeah. Well, there was no Kamara, but right. I mean, now you have Boone. You have Gordon. It'll be the three. Maybe they'll use 3 guys. It's possible. But
I feel like if Melvin Gordon struggles as a part of this is like the insurance thing. If the fumbles become an issue, they have somebody there they could trust in that role. But it does feel like Melvin Gordon's going to be the guy, right? Like he's meant to be the guy here in this office right now. Let's talk about these wide receivers, because Cortland Sutton, I talked about him as a easy start as a wide receiver too. 13.5 fantasy points, not my favorite. However, the volume is still there. 11 fantasy points in all 5 games so far this year. How many targets did he have this week, Mike Clay?
That's a good question. He had 11 targets, which is good, but he was shadowed by Stephon Gilmore on 39 of his 41 routes. That's a tough challenge. That's a really tough challenge. And he still came away with 11 targets and 74 yards. I think that's fine. You know, Sutton's been awesome. That's one good thing that's come out of this offense so far. No concerns.
You can trust him. And Jerry Judy.
He's the one guy he looks for.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson clearly looks for Cortland Sutton to the detriment sometimes of other open receivers, as we referenced.
Yeah. Jerry Judy, unfortunately, this week, 8 targets, 3 catches, 53 yards. We had him outside the top 40 at wide receiver. Mike, we just want to see more from Jerry Judy. But with this offense struggling, it feels like you're not going to see that until the offense itself gets on track.
I think he'll be the big benefactor if they do start producing at a higher level and scoring 2, 3, 4 touchdowns a game, which is what we expected. But right now, it's just not happening. The efficiency isn't there. But the good news is he's on the field often. And again, he had 8 targets in this game, which is fine. So consider him for flex in 12-team leagues, but 10-teamers, he's on your bench for sure.
Okay. All right. That's going to wrap up Thursday night football.
Good. We have a lot of games to get to. Let's be positive now and look forward.
All right. Before we do that, though, Mike Clay, I was notified of something on the old Twitter machine yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
You were? I did. I saw this on Twitter. I'm going to throw this up there. This came from Jay Fluter. It says, I can no longer take Mike Clay's Eagles advice now that I've learned he works for the organization. And I look at this Jake Elliott thing here, and it says down at the bottom, Eagles special teams coordinator Michael Clay was non-committal on Elliott's status in week 5. I'm curious, Mike, are you moonlighting as the Eagles special teams coordinator as doing a fantasy analyst? Stop it.
No, it's not. Okay. So Michael Clay was a linebacker for Oregon during the Chip Kelly era. And then Chip Kelly hired him as a coach when he was the coach of the Eagles. And then he followed him to San Francisco. Now he's back with the Eagles as their special teams coordinator. So he was a really, really good linebacker at Oregon. He was a standout when
Here's
he was
a question.
There.
Was he a better linebacker?
Because it's in the name.
Right. Are you That's a better analyst or was he a better linebacker?
He was a better linebacker. Okay. There's no question. He was awesome. I was hoping he made it in the pros. But, it's interesting. There's who is it? Who's the... who's the NFL reporter whose name is very close to a head? Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy. Who am I thinking of? You know, there's a reporter. His name is almost the same as Mike McCarthy.
It is.
It's very similar. And he gets tweets all the time when Dallas is playing poorly and when Green Bay used to struggle.
I do know what you're talking about.
I was imagining if Michael Clay goes on to be a head coach, I'm going to get the same thing.
Just
say he's a head coach of the Bears and they're struggling. I'm just going to get the tweets.
People are going to ask him for famous.
Or that too. There's a weatherman in Florida named Mike Clay, and I get tagged in weather tweets all the time. Back and I'm sure he gets fantasy questions. Any Daniel Dobbs out there or Stefania Bells?
Don't run into that problem. Yeah. Never.
Yeah. I do not either.
There's no all Stephanie right. Bells. There's no like that are close, just close enough.
Let's not open Pandora's box. I just don't want to know.
All right, we have 45 minutes to get through, 13 games?
We have a bunch of games. Really quickly, though, we are going to pay some bills. Let's do that first. Stefania Bell.
Oh.
That's
Excuse
okay.
Excuse me.
Take your time.
I get ready.
Yeah, no worries.
Geico asks,
yes.
How would you love a chance to save some money on
Ooh,
insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Inflation and rising interest costs are forcing many to rethink their personal investing playbook. Tackle the challenge of finding the right income strategy as you navigate this period of volatility. At Global X ETFs, our funds look beyond what you might have considered, offering solutions for investors seeking to increase or diversify the yield potential of their portfolio. Visit globalxetfs.com/income to learn more.
Game preview. Look at that with the drop in everything. That's right.
I love it.
Talking Giants and Packers. The main thing to note from this game, it is a London game, friends. 9:30 a.m. Eastern kickoff. Make sure that you are up early or set your lineup late. But really, just get up early. Make sure that there's no inactive.
Wait, you don't want any Kamara situations.
You do not
How
want
many people
do
you think started him last week?
Too many.
Way too many.
Way too many. Way too many. We have some lineup locks for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones.
Believe it or not, that's actually true. We'll have
a conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Any injuries that we need to worry about here for the Green Bay Packers this week, Stefania?
I just think people need to know Alan Lazard is on the injury report for the Packers, but I do expect him to play.
All right. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, Mike, knowing that Aaron Jones is the guy that we have as a lineup lock. He's been... multiple touchdown passes in three straight games, right? You love that. I love to see that. But I haven't seen the yardage that I've usually seen from Aaron Rodgers. I haven't seen him be able to have this dominant wide receiver. He's developing that rapport with Romeo Doubs and Alan Lazard. Is he a starter for you here in week five?
He is 15th on my board, so that's a no. Under 17 fantasy points in every game so far this season. It's obviously been a struggle. The one thing I'll say is, the Giants have not allowed a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks, but they have faced Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, Cooper Rush, and Justin Fields, right?
So one quarterback in Cooper Rush.
They haven't had it. Yeah. That has not been a challenge by far. I don't think we know what to make of them just yet. So, if you want to consider Rodgers for your slot, he's a borderline starter, but certainly not a lock like we thought he'd be.
Definitely not a lock. I have him as quarterback 11. So if you're in a 10 to 12 team league, he's right at the tail end there. A.J. Dillon. At least 14 touches in all four games. He had 18 or more in two of the last three, but he's not been getting the production that we have wanted to see from him. Mike Clay, do you think that he's still flex-worthy here in this game against the Giants?
I have him 28th. I'm a little lower than you are, but this is what I thought coming into the season was going to happen. He's going to have occasional big games when he finds the end zone or has a big play or two, but otherwise he's going to have a lot of duds. It's just the nature of the beast when you're a number two running back, essentially. Aaron Jones obviously being the 1A there, under 10 points in three straight games. And the Giants have allowed the fourth most rushing yards, so maybe there's hope for a big day on the ground. But Dillon, 28th for me, flex option.
Heck yeah. All right, let's talk about these wide receivers really quickly. Stefania, I know you are a big Romeo Doubs fan.
Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
If there was one wide receiver here that you were going to start from the Packers this week, do you prefer Romeo Doubs or Alan Lazard?
I probably right now Romeo Doubs.
Okay.
I have given him the slight edge just because he's trending in the right direction in terms of volume, in terms of Aaron Rodgers building trust with him, which is so important. You know, we joke about that with a lot of different quarterback receiver combinations, but I think in Green Bay, that's very true.
Absolutely. Doubs has had 8 targets in each of the last two games. He found the end zone each of the last two games. It looks like he's taking this next step. I'm excited to see if it continues. Mike, do you like one of them more than the other?
I have Doubs slightly ahead. Like you said, his playing time has really jumped up after week two. But really what I think we've seen is Lazard and Doubs take control as the 1 and 2, right? They are the clear guys. Lazard's target share is progressing up as well. So those are the two startable Packers receivers right now. Nobody else should really be on your radar.
What about Robert Tonyan? You started him at tight end this week?
No. Touchdown last week, but limited to 2 targets, and he's been below 40 yards in every game this season. Thanks. Not a top 10 or 12 option.
On the other side of that game, Saquon Barkley is a lock for us from the Giants, and then...
Let's move on to the next game. That's what.
Let me just point something out.
Oh yeah.
This is my chance to read off my injury list. Let me just tell you what's going on.
Is Wandale Robinson coming back to anytime soon, Stefania?
No, I can't deal with him until next week. But Kenny Galladay out with a knee issue. Kadarius Toney out with what appears to be the third hamstring injury of the season, because he had one in the summer. I remember when I was at camp, I was talking with Jordan, and we saw him kind of pull up with a hammy that was then bothering him off and on until the season began. He then said that the hamstring issue to start the season was different than the one he had in the preseason. And now Brian Daboll tells us Tony actually hurt his other hamstring, the opposite side. This is one of those players that we would say in the physical therapy world, you wonder about their collagen because they have soft tissue injuries all the time. You know, Daniel Jones, obviously with the ankle issue. Tyrod Taylor had a concussion. You remember from the game, Jones went out with the ankle, Tyrod Taylor in, then out with the concussion. Daniel Jones is getting better, moving around a little bit better, but I expect him to still be, you know, that ankle's not perfect.
Well, does that mean that he's going to stop stealing touchdowns from the goal line for Saquon Barkley? Because I would like Saquon Barkley to get those.
I think Saquon will get a lot of work. Yeah, excited by this week.
Wandale traveled, by the way, right? Didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he might make his debut, and he's out there in a lot of leagues, and he might immediately be their number one. Like, he just, because they don't have a choice.
I hadn't thought about it. I was thinking Richie James. Maybe this week.
I tried Richie James in DFS last week. I didn't feel real good about it. I think the idea of what Ron, and I wasn't big on Wandale Robinson, no, the idea of.
They like Wandale. It's just that with this injury, I just don't know that right away.
Until maybe next week he's startable, not this week, but out on for benches.
Someone to look at. All right, Chargers at Browns. Chargers lineup locks this week include, get ready, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. As long as Keenan Allen is healthy, Stefania, what's the latest on him?
Yeah, define healthy. So Keenan Allen hasn't played since week one because of his hamstring injury. And hamstring injuries are all over the place. We know there's a spectrum in terms of time to return. But typically when the team says, you know, it's not very serious, it almost sounded like tightness initially. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, okay, that's a mild strain. Typically we see a return time that is somewhere between 1 and 3 weeks. He's now been out since week one. It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He still has not practiced this week. Now, Brandon Staley, according to Lindsay Theory, Brandon Staley continues to refer to him as day-to-day. But it's hard to evaluate something from our end on a distance when you're still not seeing the player in practice at all. So I think it's pretty iffy, but Friday could tell us a lot.
If Keenan Allen doesn't go, Mike, is Josh Palmer jump back into that flex consideration for you?
I think so. 13 or more fantasy points in the two games prior to last week. Now, he missed a dud last week. He missed a big chunk of that game. He was not fully healthy for that one. It looks like he'll go in this game. If Allen's out, Palmer, I'll have right around wide receiver 30. Startable. And we're also going to bump up Gerald Everett if he goes in this game. If Allen is out, he's been a top eight scorer at tight end in 3 or 4 weeks so far.
Yes, he has. I was just going to say that. He's a great streaming option, and especially if there's no Keenan Allen, you definitely like him here this week. All right, for the Browns, lineup locks are Nick Chubb, and I think that's it from a lineup lock perspective.
Yeah.
His other running back, Kareem Hunt, running back 4 in week one, but he has not been a top 25 running back in any of the games since. Is he still a flex play here this week against the Chargers defense?
I think so. He's had 12 to 15 touches in every game this season. So very consistent role behind Nick Chubb, right? So he had the big week one. He's kind of dropped off since then, but this is what you're going to, just like AJ Dillon. It's the same kind of thing, right? You're going to have occasional spike games, but otherwise it's going to be the similar number of touches and it's going to lead to some down games. The Chargers, remember how we thought they fixed their run defense? Mm. They have not. Third worst against running backs so far. Third most yards. The worst yards per carry in the league. So maybe that does open the door for Hunt to have one of his better games. I have him 31st. So again, he's a flex option.
All right. Looking at Amari Cooper here, and I think this is very interesting. We have Amari Cooper just outside the top 30 at wide receiver. 2 weeks inside the top 10. Those were both games at home.
Those are good. He must be a lineup lock.
2 weeks outside the top 70. Those were both on the road.
Maybe not then.
Where is he playing this week?
He's
at home.
Yeah.
So are we going to see another top 10 week out of Amari Cooper? Is he at least somebody that you can consider starting this week if you need a wide receiver?
I mean, you can consider it. We've seen his ceiling, right? You can definitely think about it. He's 32nd on my board. So I'm definitely ranking him as a borderline wide receiver 3. And honestly, he's a starter in 12 team leagues. He's just, the target share is huge. 26%. Also 38% of their air yards. This is some career high usage for him in some categories. Yep. So I think you'd be hard pressed to bench Amari Cooper.
All right. What about David Njoku? Just the other pass catcher in this offense. Past 2 weeks, he has been top 5 at tight end in targets, catches, and yards. In spite of how I think low volume this passing offense is with Jacoby Brissett, he sort of worked his way into the, you need to start him at tight end if you have him on your roster at this point.
I think so. I mean, we did the CSS DFS pod yesterday, and guess who my tight end was?
David Njoku.
Still too cheap in DFS. Five plus catches, 73 or more yards in two straight games. He's top 10 in pretty much every category at the tight end position. And the Chargers have allowed the fourth most passing touchdowns this season. And Njoku's been somewhat busy near the goal line.
Yeah.
Maybe he finds the end zone. I think he should be in lineups.
All right. This NFC North breakdown is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. We are talking Bears and Vikings here. Lineup locks for this game include for the Vikings, Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook if he goes. Stefania, what is the latest for fantasy managers on Dalvin Cook heading into week 5?
Oh, Dalvin Cook's going to play. You know, he already showed us that he could play with this harness on. Now, Alexander Mattison got more work. It was just the first week after Cook had aggravated his shoulder. This is a shoulder problem that's chronic for him, so he actually knows how to play through it pretty well. I don't know the hard part is we don't know how the split will be. We don't know if there's going to be a workload. We're used to seeing like maybe 60 to 65%.
Sure.
Cook to Madison at least. And I think that fell a little bit closer. You're the numbers guy, but I think it was more of an even distribution this past week and don't know if it'll stay that way.
This is one of those injuries too. I understand he's going to play with the harness that he has on his shoulder, but like if he's playing, you play him. It's not an injury
Like I said that even last week and it was just 1 week after the injury.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's talk his quarterback really quickly. Kirk Cousins. I have him outside my top 15. He's had two top 12 weeks, but also two weeks outside of the top 20 at the position. The Bears, I feel like maybe could be taken advantage of, but it doesn't give me a lot of confidence as a streaming option for Kirk this week.
So you said he has two top 10s?
Two top 12s.
Two top 12s, and he has no finishes better than 9th. So not feeling good about that.
Not great.
And I mean, how often are the Vikings going to have the ball in this game? They better stop the run because this is going to be a low-volume game. Chicago's just going to run the clock out as best they can and protect their defense, which I just don't think is very good. But they've run the ball so much that it's just led to low-volume games, and that's a way you could kind of variant your way to wins
to get
and
there.
It's happened for them so far. So I don't think Cousins, based on what we've seen so far and again in this game, in this matchup, in which they might play 55 snaps instead of 65, I don't think I want him in my lineup.
Yeah. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, you're starting, but what about his other pass, his wide receiver mate, and Adam Thielen, right? Adam Thielen started out the season, wide receiver 61 through the first 2 weeks. Now, wide receiver 16 the last two. Has he worked himself into this flex position with all the volume and targets that he's getting the last couple of weeks, Mike?
Yeah, so his targets have gone up every game. And it's not often we talk about, 32-year-old starting receivers in fantasy, but he's gotten the job done so far. He's a really talented player, obviously, really productive. 8 targets, 60 yards, and 15 fantasy points in 2 consecutive games. The one thing I'll say, though, Chicago has yet to allow a wide receiver over 13 fantasy points.
Oh.
None. So if you assume Justin Jefferson probably gets there because he's Justin Jefferson, does the second one? It might be tough. And again, I talked about the low volume offenses against Chicago. Well, 55 targets. There have been 55 wide receiver targets against Chicago this season. Think about that in 4 games. It's a little over 10 per game. And again, you want Justin Jefferson to get 9 to 11 targets per game. Where does that leave?
9 to 11. I want him to get 12 to 15 per game.
I mean, if we're being realistic in this game, right?
That's
fair. Where does that leave Thielen? Is it a 5 target game?
Yeah.
Do you want that in your lineup? Probably not. So
his value used to be that he'd be the touchdown guy.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what you need.
You obviously can't count on, but it'll happen.
I think it's a tough one. I have him 37th, so he's startable, but is he an auto lock after the last 2 weeks?
Definitely
I don't think
not.
So in this game. Yeah. I don't think so.
All right, let's talk about the Bears lineup locks. I don't have any on my sheet. I suppose that depends on David Montgomery's status heading into this game, Stefania.
Yeah, you know, when he got injured, he got rolled up on. It was listed as his knee and his ankle. It's now become just the ankle, so that's obviously the limiting factor for him. He did get back into practice on a limited basis on Thursday, and according to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for us, he said he was feeling really good, taking it day by day, calling himself a game-time decision. So, you know, you love that. But it sounds like he's trending the right direction, but there will ultimately be some hurdles for him to cross, for them to feel comfortable, for him to feel comfortable that he's going to play.
This is sort of like, you know how we had the Peyton Manning Bowl last night? This is like the Courtney Cronin Bowl because she used to cover the Vikings and now she's with the Bears. So like just a little bit of that between the two.
Rockstar Courtney Cronin.
She's freaking
doing
awesome.
Everything.
Absolutely. If both sides of this, if David Montgomery plays, is Khalil Herbert worth starting this week? One. And two, if David Montgomery does not play for some reason and he does not make it, where would Khalil Herbert fall within your rankings?
Herbert should not be near starting lineups if Montgomery is active. If Montgomery is out, Khalil Herbert is a lineup lock for sure. Okay. 20 plus touches and 100 or more yards the last 2 weeks. The Vikings have not been good against running back so far either. Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon, both had big games against him. So again, it really just depends on Montgomery's status.
Is there anybody else that you're starting from this Bears team? We watched Darnell Mooney fight. Okay. All right.
Nope. Mooney did have a good game last week, but the volume was still low.
It's I need to see more before I trust him in my lineup.
Way more, including maybe throwing the ball a little bit from Chicago. Can we do that? Can we throw the ball?
I thought you were saying he needs to throw the ball.
Well, it would hurt.
That too. Whatever it takes, man. Just take the ball from Fields out of his hand and run with it. Just do anything. Like you know what's funny? His usage target share-wise is similar to last year.
Is it really?
Yeah, but the volume is like historically, in the modern era, low that... It's not leading to much. It's just very disappointing.
It's really frustrating because we all drafted him so much higher than... Yeah, whatever. Whoa, Stefania. All right, let's talk Seahawks at Saints. Excuse me. Seahawks lineup locks in this one include DK Metcalf because he is just different.
Mm-hmm.
You start him every single week, and that's it here for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm looking at Geno Smith, though. He has been awesome the last 2 weeks. He has been fantastic, not only against the Detroit Lions, but now he takes on the Saints. Is he a streaming option again this week against what I'm assuming is a much tougher Saints defense than my Lions gave him last week?
Yeah, look, he's playing well, so he is a borderline streaming option. I have him 13th on my board. He's been top 10 2 weeks in a row. But I will say this, he is 20th in expected points at quarterback. That is very low. That suggests he hasn't really been, he's kind of overachieving. A lot of times those guys will regress to the mean. And the big games were Atlanta and Seattle. Would have been Atlanta and who's he quarterback? Detroit.
Atlanta and Detroit.
the wrong team on my note. But anyway, you get the point. It was that absurd game last year with the Seahawks and the Lions. Actually, the Seahawks have struggled so much defensively. Maybe he did put up a big point total against them. Who knows? I mean, everyone else did, so why not? Also, tough matchup. Saints have allowed more than 13 fantasy points only once this season.
Yeah.
And it was Marcus Mariota who did a lot of that with his legs. So they've been pretty good slowing quarterbacks, which was the expectation. So I'm not going out of my way to start Geno this week.
What about Rashad Penny? We watched him look awesome last week, but again, that was against a porous Lions run defense. I'm not trusting him here against the Saints. What about you?
Saints outstanding against the run. They've been for years. I don't like it. It was a great matchup last week, and targets are a problem, right? He did shred the Lions defense in the second half last week. He was terrific, but in the passing game, 3 targets in week 1. He has 2 total targets in 3 games since.
Wow. I read on Twitter before we started the show, Rashad Penny's been referring to the week 4 game as the Stefania game. He's calling it right now.
I don't, you remember I broke up with him on Fantasy Football Now. There was a tweet that came in and it was, anyway, we were talking about breaking up with players.
Right.
So yeah. I think I motivated him and you're welcome.
You definitely motivated him. Yes.
Yeah. Now a week later is really when.
So we might both hear it from Tyler on Sunday because he had the over on our segment there. And I felt good about that because he did nothing in the first half.
Nothing.
He had like 6 carries for 12 yards. Yeah. And then he just went off in the second half.
We're trying to run out the game and they just kept getting massive chunk yards from Rashad Penny. That was frustrating.
It was very frustrating.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Anyway.
All right. Let's talk about Tyler Lockett really quickly. He is locked in for me as a flex play. I have him as a wide receiver 23. Mike, you've got him at wide receiver 21. I feel like this is one of the back and forth that you're going to have with DK Metcalf. You're going to have some boom bust with Tyler Lockett here, and you just got to be able to deal
with
that.
Maybe. I mean, he had the bad week 1, but he has 3 straight good games, right? He's been top 30, 3 straight games. The target share has been 25% or more in all of those games. So as long as Geno keeps throwing it to him 8 to 10 times a game, he's going to be a starter in fantasy. So I agree. I think he should be in lineups. And honestly, I don't think that's too strong of a bold take right now, right? He's just been 3 straight good games with that sort of volume. That's a guy you start.
I really wanted a bigger game from him last week against Detroit, but I realize I'm being...
He was fine, wasn't he? What did he do in that one?
He was fine.
Then you have like 8 targets.
He didn't do DK Metcalf stats. I mean, I was thinking DK Metcalf gets Jeff Okuda. So then you're thinking...
Which did not happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, especially the Lions lost Tracy Walker, their safety over the top. I was thinking maybe some deep plays to Tyler Lockett. It didn't work out that way, though.
Okay. So your bar for Lockett's way too high. That's what we're saying here. Okay. This is on you.
My bar for Will Disley's not too high. He's just had 3 touchdowns in, the last 4 games so far this year. He's starting Will Disley at tight end.
Yeah. 40% of the time when they throw, he's running a route. So that's not good. You don't want that in your lineup. He has not been over 4 targets or 43 yards in a game. That's not a starter in fantasy. He had some luck in the touchdown department. You'll get them once in a while, but this is like a worse 2021 Hunter Henry, right?
That's
or
fair.
Even Dawson Knox to some extent.
That's a great point.
But worse than that, so you don't want him.
Okay. All right, for the Saints, Stefania, we've got Alvin Kamara as a lineup lock. Any injuries that we need to be worried about here for the Saints? And when I say any injuries, I mean, can you just list all of the team?
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, neither one of them have practiced yet. And I don't expect that you're going to see Michael Thomas. It's not sounding like Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Probably going to be another Andy Dalton week. Alvin Kamara, still on the injury report, but definitely doing much better as far as the rib issue. We saw that he was out last week. I think you would get him back. Jarvis Landry played through the ankle injury. Still listed as limited. Didn't have great game last week. I mean, mm-hmm. he was out there, but it was not a super productive game for him. The guy I'm looking at is Chris Olave. Like, yep. Healthy, awesome. He and Andy, that was the question. If Andy Dalton's throwing, is it mm-hmm. going to be Chris Olave? So with all these injuries, I don't really see much changing in terms of who's going to be taking the ball away from Chris Olave.
Yeah. Here's the fun stat about Chris Olave. He has 205 more air yards than any other wide receiver in the NFL. 205. That's 45% more than second place. Mm-hmm. But here's the important stat. That's a fun stat. Here's the important stat. He's seen at least 25% of the Saints' targets in three straight games. He's getting that workload, and it was not just with Jameis Winston. It's even when Andy Dalton came in last week, he still had that workload. I'm with you, Stefania. I love Chris Olave, especially because him and Taysom Hill are the only two guys that are not on the injury report this week.
Taysom Hill is on the injury report.
Oh, it's just Chris Olave.
He's the one we can trust. Yeah. Olave's top 10 in receiving yards as well. I mean, he's been terrific. The top 20 the last 2 weeks. Lineup block at this point. You fire him up. He's been terrific.
A lineup block. Okay. Our chat has a ton of questions about Chris Olave. Ton of flex questions. Would you play Chris Olave ahead of Jeff Wilson this week?
Yeah,
I would too.
Oh, yeah.
What about J.K. Dobbins?
Yeah.
I would do that as well. James Conner. This is a tough one. And this one was one I know that really was giving chat some
That's
struggles.
Tricky. You know, Conner at any given point could have two or three touchdowns, but honestly, Olave could have 120 in a touchdown, too. So I'm going to go Olave just based on what we've seen so far from Connor.
Wow.
And they're playing Eagles.
Yeah.
Really tough challenge.
Tough. What about last one? Ramondre Stevenson taking on the Detroit Lions. Been getting more workload, Mike Clay. We talked about him in CSS DFS.
We did. And I love him in DFS this week. And I love him in season long. Now is a borderline RB2, but I'm going Olave. I can't bench him right now.
You cannot bench Chris Olave. Get him in your lineups. Mm-hmm. That's what we've heard. All right. Next game, Dolphins at the Jets. Our lineup blocks for the Miami Dolphins include Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle because, of course, Stefania, it appears though, not appears, we're going to be without Tua for another week. Are there any updates that we have potentially on Tua?
No, not really. I think he's out indefinitely. Okay. There's been chatter about seeing him at the building and things that indicate that he's doing okay, which is great to hear, but nothing as far as football-related timeline.
Teddy Bridgewater now going to be under center like he was last week. Mike, is that going to change anything long-term for you with either Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle?
Long-term? No. I mean, we would hopefully Tua is back next week. Hopefully. Or in the next week or two.
You're right. That was a silly question.
You mean short-term?
What about short-term?
No.
What about this week?
We're still starting Tyreek and Waddle. Teddy was good enough, right? He's a very good number two quarterback. He got the ball in their hands. I know Waddle didn't do much, but that could change in a hurry. So still starting both of those receivers.
If I have to choose between one of these two running backs, I'm going to choose Raheem Mostert because he's been getting way more volume than Chase Edmonds. I'm really hoping I don't have to play Raheem Mostert, though, if I don't have to.
That's exactly right, because he had a 50-16 snap edge last week and still did not score a touchdown or go over 11 fantasy points, something that he has not done at all this season.
Yep.
Chase Edmonds under 8 touches in 3 consecutive games. We talked about this last week. He's on benches right now, and in 10-team leagues, he's getting to the point where you don't have to roster him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if he just continues to be a clear backup, getting a few touches a game, that's not someone who's anywhere close to fantasy relevance.
I think...
You go, Stefania. I talk a lot. Go ahead.
Some would say I do, too. I think...
Not me.
Mike, you're my new best friend. I think that with Raheem Mostert, obviously the connection with him and Mike McDaniel, Mike McDaniel gave him a chance by bringing him to Miami, coming off this huge knee injury, very significant cartilage injury. The question was always, can he do what he did before this? And I think they were reluctant to have him do too much, especially through training camp in the early part. So I'm not as surprised as some people to see what's happening. I mean, the part where I might be a little bit surprised is how well his knee has held, how pristine it sounds like it looks on imaging, how well he's doing functionally. Like, this is really a great these are, I like to share these stories because it's, you love when you see somebody who had what could have been a career threatening injury, probably doesn't get the attention of an ACL, but a big cartilage injury can be career threatening to a running back, full stop, period.
Yeah.
And this guy has come back, and now we're talking to him about him as being the number one running back in the Dolphins offense. I just, shout out to Raheem Mostert.
Exactly.
And Mike McDaniel for recognizing it.
And he's 30 years old, and it's not even like a committee. We thought at least, worst case scenario, Chase Edmonds dominates passing situations, and that has not been the case. It's just a Mostert show right now.
It was all about follow the money with what they gave Chase Edmonds in this offseason, right? We thought he was just going to be more utilized than what he is, which is really tough. All right, for the New York Jets, I don't think we have anyone as a technical lineup lock here, Mike Clay. Stefania, really quickly, before we go through this, are there any injuries that we need to know about for the Jets side of this?
Well, I think Breece Hall being on the injury report gets your attention because of the productivity he's had. I think he's getting more and more comfortable with the offense. He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday because of the knee, but we've heard that it's not serious. When your offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur, says, thank God he's here. I mean, he did say before didn't he say that Carter was the heartbeat of the team?
Yeah.
But now, thank God, Breece Hall is here. And so
I'm very thankful for those running backs. Huh?
They are. I don't think it's serious. So if you saw him on the injury report, I don't expect that to be a factor this week.
We've been watching Breece Hall separate himself from Michael Carter here in this backfield. He is about as close to a lineup block as I feel like it gets within this Jets offense right now in week five.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's second in expected fantasy points at running back, which is not something you would have expected, especially after week one when he was the backup. Clearly, he's first in targets as well. He's leading all running backs in targets, which is hard to believe. Only 31st in carries. So we need a little more balance from that offense, more carries, more goal line work, which is something they have not done. They just haven't had snaps near the goal line. We need that to pick up, of course. But he's playing enough that I have him RB24. That number could continue to rise, right? He might end up 18th and 15th, and maybe he gets in the RB1 conversation if he really takes control of this backfield. So, yeah, if I have Breece Hall, I feel pretty good starting him.
Mike, if I was an idiot baby and I wanted to ask you what expected fantasy points means, like when you're talking, because you've had a couple articles come out, you've had some tweets talking about we're far enough into the season, expected fantasy points versus actual fantasy points. Just like a really quick, what does that mean or how are you breaking that down?
Yeah, so you just assume average efficiency, touchdown rate, yards per carry, yards per target for the player, and then you just look at their usage. If it's a carry at the one versus a carry at the 50, how many you count up all the touches and the location of them on the field for a pass catcher, it would be like if it's an end zone target, not necessarily the line of scrimmage, because like there's a big difference between a screen and a ball thrown downfield toward the end zone.
Yeah.
You basically look at the league wide rates for those plays, attach them to each player based on their usage and see who has the most expected fantasy points. You'll find underachievers, you'll find overachievers, you'll find guys that are going to probably regress to the mean over time. And Breece Hall has obviously underachieved a little bit. His usage has been outstanding, his fantasy production down a little bit. So to me, that's for a player that talented, that tells me that he could catch up over time and end up being a star fantasy running back.
You know what I heard during all that? You know when you talk to your dog and you think your dog hears like, blah, 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 treat?
That's what it is.
I've heard like a lot of stuff I didn't understand and then
I did a bad job explaining it.
No, you did a great job. I don't mean that. I mean, all the steps you have to go to get to that calculation is why I trust your results.
Yes.
But I am never going to be able to do all that stuff you just said in that order. So any of you want to go out there, I think it's important for us to have the conversation because people are like, oh, does Mike just sit there and throw darts at like a board, like a square, you know, when you place your bets and figure out like how many points you're going to get at the end of the first quarter, the end of the game. No, you actually have math and science behind it.
I do. And, you know, I that's absolutely true, but sometimes it feels like a dartboard might be more useful this year because I don't know what, you know, some of these guys like.
Yeah, but you do this for fun, right?
Cleveland and Seattle being top five in offensive EPA. Like,
dude,
there's no way. Like, how is that happening?
You had the Lions leading the league in offensive efficiency this year, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about really quickly. I think that's really interesting because I've seen you come out with a lot of expected fantasy stuff. And just as someone that wants to understand it, but to your points, Stefania, it's above my head. So just trust Mike Clay because
that's
he knows
like an offseason topic, right? I think. But we do have the leaderboards for expected touchdowns and fantasy points on the site at ESPN Plus, and there's an explanation in there at the beginning.
Love that.
Where you can kind of read through and better understand that. I don't always articulate everything perfectly, but that's available.
Mike, I have Michael Carter at running back 32. You have him at running back 34. Consensus is 33 this week, right between us. Are there still enough opportunities for Michael Carter?
Okay. Just bench him. He's been under 10 fantasy points, three straight games. We just talked up Breece Hall's emerging or increasing role, Carter on benches.
All right. What about the pass catchers here? We got Zach Wilson back. I wanted to see a little bit more from Garrett Wilson. We thought maybe Elijah Moore with the rapport that he has with Elijah Moore. We'd see that last week. How are you breaking down these two Jets wide receivers this week?
So I still like Garrett Wilson. He had a season low in targets last week, but so did Elijah Moore. So it's not like Zach Wilson came in and just started featuring more and Wilson suffered. Now Wilson did suffer a little bit, but it was good to still see him have six targets in that game. Dolphins have struggled against wide receivers. Byron Jones will not be back this week. Xavien Howard is dicey as well. He might not play. That opens up a great opportunity for these Jets wide receivers. So Garrett Wilson, like him as a top 30 play. Elijah Moore, you look at all of the, again, he didn't have a great game. Only three targets last week, did play a lot of snaps, but you look at the best games and his touchdown scoring games from even back to last season, they're all when Zach Wilson was not in the lineup. So Moore's had a slow start to this season, and now Zach Wilson's obviously in there. It hasn't been great so far. I think Moore is, I have him 40th, you know, not a guy you necessarily have to lock in your lineup. I think you should be on benches.
I don't want to start Elijah Moore if I don't have to. I'd rather go a different direction.
Especially since he just has not had a connection with Zach Wilson.
What about Tyler Conklin? We watched him crush it the first couple of weeks with Joe Flacco, but then last week with Zach Wilson kind of came back to the tight end earth. I don't know.
Is that a thing? I don't know. Maybe that's a future segment.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. Season low, five targets. He did take advantage of all that massive volume we said was going to come back to earth. Darn it. I did not do that on purpose. But anyway, he has come back to earth, and I don't think he's a starter. I have him 13th on my board.
All right. We got a couple more games that we're going to get through. But first, Stefania, make us all hungry, please. Do you mind?
Pizza, pizza.
Yes, pizza, pizza.
Make Little Caesars the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during their pizza, pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or their in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before kickoff. Pizza, pizza.
Thanks, Papanya Bell. Bell? How is it? I can't do that. I'm not even good at it. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. So check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game all season, once per day, all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued to opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Impressive.
Thank
you. You even looked away during that for a second.
A little bit. It was
pretty good.
It was sort of like that no-look pass sometimes I see Patrick Mahomes do. That was it.
Sidearm, underhand, no-look. No, impressive.
All right. Speaking of impressive, Mike Clay, Falcons and Bucks. We watched Tom Brady come back after struggling the first couple of weeks. This game, our Bucks lineup locks include Tom Brady. He is officially there. He is no longer outside the top 10. Leonard Fournette at the running back position, and both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Stefania, really quick on Chris Godwin. We saw his first return to action last week. Anything that you saw in that game that would give you hesitation for this week, or are you thrilled and just throwing Chris Godwin out there in week five?
No, I think, but now you can go ahead and comfortably start him. The amount that he's playing in the games tells you where they're at as far as confidence level with him. He'll still be listed on the injury report. They're still going to limit him in practice, and that's all part of the management issue, but only listed because of the knee, which is important because there was a question about something else potentially happening in the game. So I think just rep control during the week, Chris Godwin, you're going to see him on the field a lot. They've already shown us that.
Those are your four starters for the Bucks, Mike. You got Brady, you got Fournette, and you got the two pass catchers. Is there anyone else that you're thinking about?
Not right now. Julio Jones played 31% of the snaps last week, so he's not there yet. We need to see him jump that number up and be the clear number three wide receiver. When we get there, after we saw in week one, maybe he is a flex option every week, but he's not there yet.
What are the chances Tom Brady throws four touchdown passes to Julio Jones, and then he's like, this is what you guys should have done with me all the time I was here? I've been in Atlanta the whole time.
Revenge game.
It was weird though. Okay, so Tom Brady on the injury report this week, and he sort of took care of business and said, I'm going to play on Sunday. But everybody, if you saw him, he actually went down hard on that right shoulder. He's had trouble with that shoulder before. He used to be on the injury report all the time. Not a factor for this week's game. I was more intrigued by his comments. And we've all seen the short clip of, I've watched a lot of bad football. Of course, that came out again last night. But he was also talking in that session with reporters about the things that had gone wrong. And he was saying, he was talking about where they had problems. And he said, well, you know, you just have to see who you trust, who's dependable, who's going to be there all the time. And I thought, that's a little, I thought, very subtle, but not so subtle. Brady letting people know that if you're not reliable, I'm not. And it, for some reason, it made me think of Julio Jones. And I wasn't really sure. Because he was so, it sounded like he was really instrumental in getting Julio Jones there, but then Julio hasn't totally been available and they haven't seemed to connect as much as I thought. I don't know. It was just something that caught my attention because we know how he feels about Evans and we know how he feels about Godwin, and they're the two primaries. But beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, we have him ranked NR, which you would think is not ranked, but it could be nasty revenge too.
Ooh, so. I like that.
I mean, maybe in a 16 teamer.
Here's what I'm thinking. I really do feel like, and we should have, I should have said this yesterday, like the way use it in a sentence. Julio Jones gets in the end zone once in a blue moon, I think is the way that you say that. So like once
What's
every
a blue
like,
moon?
Once every 38 months, I think is what it was. Is that what it was?
We got a lot of answers to that question yesterday.
So many.
We did. So we know what a blue moon is now.
And
now we know.
What would you care to share?
It's if there's two full moons in a month, the second one is the blue moon.
Yeah. Yes. I had no idea.
I heard you guys yesterday wondering what that was.
Yeah, now we know.
Well, thank you for being one of the people that tweeted at us to let us know what it was, Stefan. You just left us hanging.
Next assignment, go look up what a flower moon is. Okay.
Well, I know what that is, though.
I don't think that exists. All right, let's talk about Falcons locks really quickly. Thanks. We've got Drake London. I think Drake London is the only lineup lock, which is frustrating because there are a couple of guys here that we definitely have to talk about. First and foremost, Stefania, Cordero Patterson. Out for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah,
so we see that.
All we know is he had a procedure on his knee and something that they felt was worthy of putting him on IR. Not a lot of details around it, but obviously he's out the next four games. But let's also talk about Kyle Pitts.
Yes, I saw Mike Rothstein said, and I tweeted this yesterday, it is a second straight mispractice for blocking tight end Kyle Pitts in this Falcons offense.
Did he say that? I was going to say, if Kyle Pitts ends up not playing because of a hamstring injury, will we notice?
No.
Sadly?
No.
Sadly, but in all honesty, I practice report Friday going to be a big deal here because he has not been out there the last 2 days.
Is it okay, so two questions. We'll start with Kyle Pitts. 5 weeks into the season, you used a super high draft pick on a tight end. Is it okay at this point to divorce yourself from whatever you used as far as a draft pick? It's over with. Draft's over. Is it okay to bench Kyle Pitts at this point, 5 weeks into the season?
It is okay to bench him right now, but the good news is he has a 24% target share, which is fourth highest among tight ends. So when they are throwing, a quarter of the time, the ball is going to him, and that's a sign of potential positivity down the road.
Yep.
We just need more passing volume, and maybe they make a quarterback change at some point, and that helps his cause.
Please.
It could. So I wouldn't drop him. I think if you're maybe you don't have a better option, can you start him? I think so. He did have a good game 2 weeks ago, but obviously he's not where we hoped he'd be coming into this season.
Yeah, agreed. Another guy that we're looking at here, Tyler Allgeier, with Cordero Patterson being out. He is going to get what seems like the majority of the work in this backfield, Stefania. But should fantasy managers fade Tyler Allgeier in spite of what is likely going to be increased workload this week?
I'm not ready to put him in as a starter. I actually have some shares of Tyler Allgeier in a couple of different leagues, but I haven't seen a commitment to him. He's off my radar right now.
Yeah, I agree. Should be on benches. He was over 100 yards last week, but he had 10 carries and one target on 24 snaps. Caleb Huntley off the practice squad, who's now on the active roster, had 10 carries on his 12 snaps. And we've also seen Avery Williams, a converted corner. He's played in passing situations occasionally this week. So this could be three guys involved in his backfield, and then Damien Williams back next week. So I think also against Tampa. I mean, one of the best run defenses in the league the past few seasons, including this year. I think Allgeier belongs on benches for now.
And agreed. Cordero Patterson, nobody's going to have that hybridized role like he does of their other running backs. No. So it's not like a replacement situation.
All right, we'll talk Commanders and Titans next, with Derrick Henry being the only lineup block that we honestly have in this game. He's looked great the last 2 weeks, and we've seen some of the passing game usage return, Mike Clay, which is what I've wanted from Derrick Henry. Throw him in your lineup this week. Are you starting any Titans pass catchers here against the Commanders this week?
No locks for sure. I do have Robert Woods 35th, right? So he's an option, 85 yards or a touchdown in his last two games. And Washington has really struggled against wide receivers. Kendall Fuller and William Jackson in the perimeter just haven't gotten the job done. We thought that'd be a really good duo for them when Jackson signed there last year. It has not worked out. So it's a decent matchup, and he's been better the last couple weeks. Also, no Treylon Burke, so Woods is going to get a little bit more, potentially an extra target or two. That's enough to consider him for a flex spot or maybe a wide receiver three slot in 12 teamers, but not a guy you have to lock in your lineup.
Okay. So it's really just Derrick Henry or maybe Robert Woods if you have that option for the Titans. For the Commanders, I don't have any lineup locks technically on the board here. Stefania, really quickly, let's talk about the injuries first before we talk about the rest of these guys.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson will be out with a hamstring issue. And then if you saw Curtis Samuel on the report, he was listed with an illness yesterday. So just the first day he was there, but something that he could potentially recover from again Friday, Saturday. We've seen that when people are listed with an illness, it could be anything. Sure. It used to be that we all talked about COVID, but there are a lot of different things, and they can come back as late as Saturday, sometimes even Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So
they might not be lineup locks, Mike Clay, but these Commanders pass catchers do have a positive matchup. You wrote about them in wide receiver, cornerback, and without Jahan Dotson, it feels like they might get a few more opportunities here this week.
Yeah, I like the matchup for Terry McLaurin on the perimeter. So I think I'm 28th at Terry McLaurin. I think you're hard pressed to bench him regardless. And I know he's coming off a really bad game, but you have 75 plus yards or a touchdown in his first three games. Again, good matchup against the Titans. Curtis Samuel, the matchup's not as good. The rookie Roger McCurry's been good in the slot for the Titans this season. But look, Samuel's third at wide receiver in touches, seventh in catches. He's at least seven opportunities in all four games. And if you can get that out of your wide receiver, you feel pretty good. So worst case scenario, I think he's a wide receiver three right now. Samuel, again, we didn't list him as a lock, but he's basically a lock. I'd have him in my lineup.
Yep. Love that. All right. Antonio Gibson, I feel like, has been trending down when you look at the first couple of weeks.
Literally, his point total and touches have gone down every single game so far.
So his running back finished by week this season. Week one, he was running back 10. Week two, he was running back 16. Week three, he was running back 27. Week four, he was running back 34.
Yes.
So with that being said, is he still a flex play here in week five, understanding that he's dipped every single one of the last 4 weeks?
You might need him as your flex, but Brian Robinson is back. And by all accounts, they love this guy. And remember, we thought Robinson was going to be the lead back to open the season with JD McKissic as the passing down guy, and maybe Gibson's mixed in and returns kicks. That could be where we are here in week five.
Yeah.
Especially after Gibson played a season low in snaps last week. So I'm worried. I have Gibson on some teams, and I'm worried that he's just not going to be much of a factor or anywhere close to startable in fantasy. And because of that, he's a risky play this week. By the way, Brian Robinson should be on all rosters.
Yes.
Because if he is the real deal and he gets 15 carries a game and a couple targets, he's going to be a must start in fantasy. They love him.
Just incredible. Really. I mean, the awesome reason he hasn't played is because he was shot.
Right.
And the fact that he it missed any major structural elements in his knee, the fact that he's been able to make this recovery like he has, and also be up to speed to just jump right back in. A lot of props to Brian Robinson. I hope that he has, I just wish good things for him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, let's talk Cowboys and Rams, and lineup blocks for this include, for the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, it's happening. CeeDee Lamb breakout, finally.
This is finally here. I don't see Cooper Rush on this. We're not starting Cooper Rush here. Stefania, any latest on Dak? We're not going to see him this week, but chances we might see him next week?
No, here's the thing. I feel badly for Dak because I feel like this external pressure has been put on him. But not
by
not,
who?
But external as in not
internal?
His teammates.
Yeah, Cooper Rush playing well.
No, but you know, by a certain owner of the team that, you know, saying, because you know that saying, under promise, over deliver?
Yes.
That's what I would like to just throw that out there for Jerry, because I feel like Dak's been under the spotlight of, okay, he can be back sooner. He can beat this. He can beat that. He's still making an incredible recovery, by the way. It's only been a few weeks since he broke his thumb, had a plate and screws put in it, and he actually started doing range of motion right away. Now, he had a doctor's visit this week, and they're looking at how much the bone is healed. And we heard afterwards, Jerry, again, offering the medical view that he need to have the bone fully healed in order to play football. That is true. But you also want the bone to show some evidence of healing before you clear him for return to play. So it sounds like the visit was powerful. positive. Things were encouraging, and he is continuing to work on the strength and the grip. If you saw some of the still photos that Todd Archer posted from practice, Dak is actually working with a real football. You know, you start with different ball, maybe move to a smaller football. Now he's regulation football. Those are all really good indicators that his hand is doing great. But you also don't want to put him back out there if he's struggling to, you know, you end up turning over the ball a lot. You don't want to put him in that situation. So I would not be surprised at all if he's back by next week. But I also think we'll just know when he's ready.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it. And neither should they be, because Cooper Rush has been doing just fine.
What about Dalton Schultz? We saw him return last week. What are your expectations for him here in week five?
Last week he was getting his feet wet again after having that PCL sprain, missed a week. He's wearing a brace, which I do think helps control any instability, residual instability that he has from that injury. But I think he'll get more involved. I think this will be a better week for him.
Okay. Mike, then let's talk about the running backs here, because the Los Angeles Rams are the best defense in the league against fantasy running backs. Mm-hmm. This week they take on Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and they've been tough, both of them. Are you starting either one of them as potential flex plays in week five?
Zeke's an option in your flex. I have him just inside my top 30, but even last week, a season-high 21 touches. He had 81 yards and no touchdowns. It just hasn't happened. Little volume, high volume. It has not worked out. I mean, he has one weekly finish better than 29th so far this season, and that is where I have him ranked in. And you mentioned the Rams defense. So Jeff Wilson had that long touchdown run last week, right? He had 13.4 fantasy points in that game. He's the first running back to go over 9 points against the Rams this season. Wow. So this is tough. You're probably not going to get a high ceiling out of Zeke. Again, he's a flex option. Pollard, of course, belongs on benches. He had a bad game last week as well. 8 yards on 9 touches. Again, he's right in that A.J. Dillon, sort of Michael Carter tier right now. He's more of an insurance back, not a guy you're starting week to week usually.
All right, what about Michael Gallup? We're excited to be able to see him this week. I don't have him ranked, but just the idea that we're getting Michael Gallup back in this offense should help not just Cooper Rush, but I would think everybody. Not starting him here this week. Stefania, anything on Michael Gallup, you know, with his return from injury, or are we just comfortable going forward with him?
No, I think, I always worry that they get excited when you see a guy coming back off a significant injury. Remember, he's still early in terms of relative to when most people return from an ACL reconstruction. And yet, you know, he performed well. I think that the time that they waited to bring him back was important because he wasn't that confident. Getting him in the end zone early didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. I think he gets better and better as long as he doesn't get overutilized and end up with something like a hamstring or a calf issue like he had last year.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's talk about the Rams. Lineup locks for the Rams include Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee because volume is king. And that's really the only reason. That's just Matthew Stafford is looking at both of those guys. And if I'm being totally honest with you, there's not a single Ram that I want to start outside of those two. I don't trust Matthew Stafford anymore. And I hate to say this, as a Matthew Stafford stan, I can't put him in my fantasy lineup.
I wonder why you like Matthew Stafford. That's so weird. Yeah.
I just can't do it. He has been awful. Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
We've seen nothing, unfortunately. There's not been a connection there with Allen Robinson. And these running backs. These running backs are still splitting time, and they're going to get a tough defense here against the Cowboys. I don't think I'm starting anyone. Are you guys starting anyone else here from this?
Matthew Stafford has no top tens. Dallas has been really good against quarterbacks, not starting him. Agreed on the running backs, not starting them. Just haven't been productive, and they're splitting that backfield. And Allen Robinson's not even on my note. I didn't even write his name down. Wow. You're not starting him, right?
So here's what's interesting. I find this game, I'm really actually intrigued to watch this, because at first I was just like, Dallas defense going to swallow them up. And the Rams are kind of letting you know, hey, we practice with these guys during training camp. Because remember, Dallas has their training camp in Oxnard, California. Mm-hmm. So they have joint practices with the Rams. So the Rams feel like they've seen some things from Dallas defense. They feel like they know how to be a little bit better prepared against them. Meanwhile, the Cowboys also know the Rams, and they feel like that makes it easier for them to get after Matthew Stafford. They know where the weaknesses are. I actually think this is going to be a really interesting little chess match here.
It can't be much worse than Thursday Night Football, so I'm in on it, Stefania, from that standpoint. Really quickly, want to say Michael Gallup, only rostered in 50% of leagues right now.
Wow. Yeah, only 60% of snaps last week. That's going to go up. He'll probably be at 90, 95% at some point. So should be, get him on your team.
Grab him before Dak Prescott comes back and see what that offense does. I'm telling you, man. All right, We will talk a couple more games, three more games, and we are out here. Eagles at the Cardinals. Lineup locks include
everyone.
Eagles. Basically everyone. You're not
this
wrong.
Will be a quick one.
Oh my gosh.
Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert. The only conversation here really is Devonta Smith as to whether or not he's going to be a guy that you can start every single week. I think he's still a flex play for us this week, Mike, but what do you like about Devonta
Smith? Yeah, he is. Two duds, two great games, and Arizona has struggled against receivers. They still have personnel issues. Trayvon Mullen made his team debut last week. They're still trying to figure it out, and Devonta Smith is in a good spot here in what could be a high scoring game, right? Yeah. It could be. Kyler Murray at any point could go off. So I like Smith. I have him 31. I think he's a starter.
For the Cardinals locks, we've got Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown. Both of them are starters. But the big question is the most popular player in our YouTube chat that our fans are sweating about right now is James Conner. How are you approaching him this week, Mike? I see you have him at running back 23. I've got him at running back 27. Consensus is 25. Feels like if you got to use him in the flex, you can use him, but no one feels super good about it.
Yeah, pretty big downgrade here. We thought he'd be in a weekly RB1, especially the way he produced last in the touchdown department last season. And in what is a good offense, he's down to more of a borderline RB2 now. Three straight weeks outside the top 25 is obviously a red flag. Under 10 points in all those games. But he does have 15 or more touches in his three healthy games. One game he left early. That's good, at least. That gives you somewhat of a floor and allows you to at least have a chance at like a Josh Jacobs game last week, you know, where everyone was kind of down on him, but he was getting the volume and then sure enough had the big breakout. The problem is playing the Eagles and I said Kyler could go off at any point. That's true. But the Eagles defense has been fantastic. So for me, Connor is more of a borderline RB2.
I think that's fair. All right. Two more games. Bengals at Ravens. Lineup blocks for the Bengals include everyone. Again, they're just like the Eagles. You start Joe Burrow. You start Joe Mixon. You start Jamar Chase. You start T. Higgins, although T. Higgins on the injury report this week, Stefania?
He is, but we expect him to play limited on Wednesday and Thursday because of an ankle issue. This is a Sunday night football game. Hopefully we'll get a little more clarity after today's practice so that we're not waiting until Sunday night. But So far, I don't get the idea that it's something serious.
Not a whole lot to be able to say. I wish we could, we could give more analysis, but just start all of your Bengals this week against the Ravens is really where it's at. Yeah. That's how we have everybody ranked, so just do that. Mm-hmm. From the Ravens' perspective, Stefania, Rashad Bateman and Gus Edwards both on the injury report this week.
Yeah, a little concerned about Rashad Bateman because it was described as a midfoot injury, just as foot on the injury report, but we've heard from the team midfoot injury. Didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. Don't like that. I'm concerned about his status. J.K. Dobbins back on the injury report. It said chest. And if you remember, that's what he had before. And then he was off the injury report. So probably required a little bit of treatment. But look, that was just one day. He was full practice yesterday. Not really worried about him. Justice Hill, who we have seen get a lot of action, hamstring issue, hasn't practiced. So again, Friday, big day for him.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Gus Edwards flirting in the background. He's going to come back soon.
Yeah. And if he plays this week, you just step right in for Justice Hill. We'll see if he's active.
I would be surprised if it's this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's soon. Mm-hmm. You know, they only have the 21 days once they activated him.
So we have Lamar and Mark Andrews as lineup locks for the Ravens. Question from a pass catching perspective, Rashad Bateman, is he somebody that you're starting this week as a flex? And if you're not, is there anybody else in this pass catching other than Mark Andrews that you're starting?
Yeah, I'm not feeling optimistic to Stefania's point that Bateman will play. Even if he does, I have him 36. And the Bengals have been really good against running backs and really good against receivers. So you don't have to force Bateman even if he's active.
Those
you
are
might
like
have
the two
option.
Positions within fantasy, Mike. They're okay. Good at running backs and wide receivers.
Both of those things. So that doesn't really inspire you, right, if you're starting Ravens players. And if you have some borderline guys like Bateman and Dobbins, Go the other direction this week. But look, I do have Dobbins 23rd, so I do think he's a fine flex option. Two touchdowns last week. He's looked good. His role is just going to continue to expand. So he's fine, but we don't have these guys in lineup blocks for a reason.
Yep.
Couple of just updates. I'm looking at my phone because practice updates are starting to roll in. And one of those is Kyle Pitts not seen at the open portion of practice this morning. So not looking great for him.
I don't know how they're going to run the ball if he's not out there.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Parker
Hesse, right? Dawson Knox out too. I think we did the Bills yesterday. I saw he's rolled out. So
yep. All right. Last game here. It's the Raiders at the Chiefs. Monday Night Football. Lineup locks.
Start them all again.
For the Raiders, include Josh Jacobs, who's been awesome recently, Devontae Adams, and Darren Waller. Stefania, Question mark still around Hunter Renfrow. It's been a while since we've seen him. Will fantasy managers get him here in week five?
I think there's a chance. I mean, back practicing on a limited basis, obviously been out with a concussion. So this is good. This is the first time we've seen Hunter Renfrow back in practice.
Love that. If Hunter Renfrow plays, Mike, is he somebody that is a flex consideration for you this week?
Yeah, 10 targets the last time we saw him. He's hasn't had a big game yet, but he was a top 10 scoring receiver last year. And as long as he keeps playing that number two role, he'll be okay. So I think he's a PPR flex, yeah.
And that knocks Mac Hollins out of any consideration.
Yeah. I don't think we're starting Hollins. They may love him, but we thought he'd come back to earth a bit last week, and he did, even with Renfrow still out. I don't think he's startable.
All right, what about Derek Carr? Last 2 weeks, he's been a top 10 quarterback, but he also has 2 weeks. This is sort of like Kirk Cousins, outside the top 20, right? Difference is, I feel like he's taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to have to throw the ball like 150 times in this game.
And he may. He may. And that's what he's done at times in the past. I do think he's a streaming option. And that's coming from me. And it's not because I'm blocked by him on Twitter. There's nothing to do with that. I usually criticize him for not adding any value with his legs. And that really limits him in fantasy. It's just a fact. It has. I like him this week as a streamer. Highest over-under game of the week, at least in my projections. I'm not sure if that aligns with Caesars. It may. 18 or more fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs can't stop quarterbacks. Every quarterback they face has at least 15 points. It gives you a high floor. And they've also allowed the most touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. So I do think this is the week, maybe. Maybe this is a one time.
This is it.
We're streaming Derek Carr. This is it.
Do you think he's going to unblock you?
I was going to say, maybe, if you have him as a starter,
this will be the week.
Yeah, and he goes off.
This will be the week. Yeah.
Can I tweet? Is this the one time? Is this the one time I can tweet at a player that I don't like?
As long as it's positive, you could tweet, hey, tweet at players all you want. Just keep it positive.
Just be positive.
I just want to see negativity to players.
That's fair. All right. For the Kansas City Chiefs, lineup locks for this game include, obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. No question marks there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He has been awesome.
Big step in the right direction last week. A lot more volume. I like to see in the second half of that game, him kind of take control of the carries and push for 15-plus carries. It's the first time we've seen anything like that. But you know, we had Adam Schefter on yesterday, and who is he talking about?
Isaiah Pacheco.
Yep. He likes him, and he thinks his role is going to continue to increase, and if that happens, it's going to be tough for CEH. So I don't think he's going to sustain RB1 numbers. I've said that before. CEH has defied logic for a month here. That doesn't mean he's going to continue to do so, so we'll keep an eye on it.
That's Mike, you owe a dollar in the bucket, I am being told right now.
Why?
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt Harrington owes a dollar in the bucklet because the graphic said Oakland Raiders rather than the Las Vegas Raiders. We're really sorry about that, friends.
The Los Angeles Raiders.
I didn't notice it.
Well, I love our producer self-calling a foul on himself. It's like, hey, just so you know, I mess up here, guys.
We're all honest here.
That's
it's
right.
An honest space.
From a Chiefs perspective, you're starting those, you know, the guys that we talked about. What about Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike?
Exactly 8 targets in 3 of 4 games. So I'll say the same thing I said last week. If a wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes is 8 targets in a game, he's going to produce in fantasy. The results haven't been great so far because he hasn't found the end zone, but he's playing enough and seeing enough target share that he should be a starter in fantasy. I have him 30th on my board. I want the new Sky Moore, though. More.
Me too.
More and more.
Yes.
And his role is increasing. Hopefully that'll continue.
Yep. Agreed. All right. That's it. We've gone through every single game that is on the week 5 slate. Anything else you want to add really quickly before we sign off?
Nope. Win this week. Yeah. Go out there, motivate your team, win your fantasy matchups.
Yours truly is hosting Fantasy Football Now this week with Mike and Stefania. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Going to be exciting. Check us out this week.
You better get your speed talking down.
Be safe.
Move quickly.
Have fun. I can move. I got wheels, Stefania. I can move quickly.
Do you though? I mean, this was a 72 minute show. Yeah.
Should have been my fault.
Should have been 60.
Sneaky athletic. Is that it?
That's what I am. We'll see. I got that old man strength. What are you talking about? Be safe this weekend. Have a ton of fun. Go check out the new Future Teens record, Self-Help. It's amazing. And then we'll see you guys on Sunday for Fantasy Football Now.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. She's our Bay Area lady.
She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.